give you the homework, if you have a pencil and a piece of paper. This is in preparation for what is coming as a responsibility of being a good soldier, being a good student. I felt as though that the Lord was going to have someone share this morning. But once again, He is the teacher and we are the students, no matter who we are. But He also wants you to begin to be prepared for when He chooses to teach this deeper than what He's taught it in the past. The first reference is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And the second reference is 1 Timothy chapter 2. And the third reference is a face-to-face that the Lord brought September 11th, 1998. And it's entitled, Pray for Leaders. It is the heart of the Father. And He wants us to know Him this year, as He has said. So in preparation for something that's coming for us as a family, it would behoove you to review those chapters and to meditate and ask the Father what all is within those chapters or within His truth that applies to you as an individual. I will remind you that it was either the last service that the Lord allowed me to share or the previous one where He reminded us within the present day speaking that everything, every single thing that the enemy has planned is like a drop in the ocean, and He is the ocean. Like a drop. It is not like a drop to the world. It is an ocean to the world. But to us, who know who we are, know where we're from, know what we're called to do, know where we're going, it is just a drop. But we have to get there so that we're not swallowed up by the ocean. I don't know that you can call it a discerning of spirits. I believe that it is. But I have never felt in my whole life the amount of fear that is intimidating everyone that you meet that does not know who they are. But that spirit of fear, it is a spirit, and it is dominating. It has become very, very, very active to try to destroy all hope. All hope. And it's brought forth in fear. No matter who you meet, the tension and the stress and the concern and the frustration is rampant. No matter who you meet that does not know Him. The anxiousness, the amount of being driven in a hurry, must, is all a fruit of that fear. And you are the light. You are the destroyer of all fear. You are. Every single one of us is a destroyer of that fear. Because love does cast out all fear. Not a part of it. All of it. Every bit of it. There's none left when you walk into the room. If you're in him and he is in you. Okay, that was my opening remarks. If you turn to page 5 on your document, we're going to once again, I felt like the Lord told me, we're going to begin with my grace ahead of time. I feel like the Lord said, after last week's service and during this week, he said, you really hurried through that one. He said, you became a victim of the lying clock. You just wanted to get by it so you could start on the next one, and you wanted to stop. And I had no intention on you trying to get by this one. So, enjoy the ride. When I take this Bible, it's becoming more and more precious, more and more real, more and more alive, more and more exciting. I can remember giving a Bible to a lady in a Moscow hotel before the Iron Curtain came down. And we had taken, 10 or 15 of them. And we happened to going to meet with the underground church there. And I can remember handing her a Bible. She spoke no English, and I certainly spoke no Russian. But the Bible had been produced by another ministry. It was in Russian. And she was cleaning the room, as such as they did. And I handed her this. And she was in the midst of cleaning the room. I handed it to her. And she took it and went like this and left my room, running down the hallway, holding it just like this, saying something that I couldn't understand. But she was saying it so much that I was able to memorize it at that time. And she kept saying, so precious, so precious, so precious, so precious. Incidentally, she never come back to clean my room. I wouldn't have either if it was the first time that I had longed for something like this and I had it in my hands. The present day speakings is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants you to know now. If I took this and said, let's turn to Genesis, or let's turn to Exodus, or let's turn to 2 Chronicles, or let's turn to Psalms, or let's turn to Jeremiah, or let's turn to Matthew, or let's turn to Timothy, or let's turn to the Hebrews, or let's turn to Revelation. No, let's go back to Isaiah. Let's go back to Ruth. Every bit of it is truth. There's nothing that is not truth. It is only truth. Every single word is living. Every single word is life. Every single word is light. Every bit of it. But the Holy Spirit has come, and he has said, because there is so much, and I am your teacher, and I am your counselor, And I am your instructor. And I'm the best helper you'll ever, ever, ever have. I'm going to pull out of here something that I want you to know now. And you must know it now. Because I'm not wasting your time. And I'm going to bring forth a voice, or more than one voice, that has heard what my present day speaking is, what my present day teaching is. And I'm going to put it in a language so that a child can understand it. Because after all, you are all my children. And I'm going to place it in a document for you to read so that you know my mind, you know my heart, you know my will for now. And if you really, really love my word, you'll take it and you will go back to the entire library and you will look where I have said it over and over and over and over again. But I've made it easy for you to come into my presence, to come into the mind of Christ, because I've brought it from his mind to you for you to major, for you to absorb, to you to meditate and digest everything that I'm saying today to you. If it's a personal present day speaking, you can write the reference down of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And within that chapter, Paul is telling his son in the gospel that by every prophecy, by every word that has come forth for you personally, by those and by those only, you're able to fight a good warfare. The present day speaking that's coming forth to the prayer center, okay, is for the body. And every one of you are a member of the body. So every one of them is for you personally within the part of the body that you are a part of. They're really for the entire body of Christ. There are very few, matter of fact, there are none in your handout that you can say is a personal word to you in a level of intimacy that it's between only you and him. You have those. You hear those. You know those. These are at a level for the entire body. Okay. So, let's go to my grace ahead of time. Came forth January 17th. In my kingdom, an alarm is not to cause alarm, but a signal of my grace ahead of time. It is an answer before you call. My strength and my instructions, my love manifested in wisdom and understanding. If you'd like to write down two references to verify this one, it's Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And then John 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you hand in hand, side by side. He will guide you. Without Him, you're not guided. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He will receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Before you call, My strength, My instruction, My love manifested in wisdom and understanding. Stay close to Me. I am your victory. A very present help in time of trouble. Stay close to Me. I am your victory. Let's say it this way. Stay close to Me. I am your strength. Stay close to Me. I am your instructions, your truth. Stay close to Me. I am your love. Stay close to Me. I am your wisdom. Stay close to Me. I am your understanding. That's really nice, isn't it? That's really nice. What are you going to do about it? I can really sit here as long as you sit there. Is that truth? Is that life? Is that light? Does that bring you faith? Encouragement? But as long as you sit there, as long as you just sit there and not add your authority to all of that, it will never be in you. It will never be in you. Let's turn to a couple more references. Turn to 1 John, please. For those of you keeping notes, I'll give you all the references. And that way you don't have to be looking them all up. I'll just read them and then you can look them up afterwards. 1 John 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. 1 Corinthians 2, 14, 15, and 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, Romans 15, verses 13 and 14. I'll just read them in sequence. 1 John 14, beginning with verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And he in God. Whosoever, that means you, that means me, whosoever will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Therein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. For I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Within those passages, it says, therein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Equal. One. No separation. We are one. As he is, so are we in this world. For who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? But we, you, me, we have the mind of Christ. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Fear is rampant. But the ultimate goal of the enemy is to destroy all hope. Complete hopelessness throughout the world, so that he can bring his kingdom to full fruition. But as he is, so are you. And you do have the mind of Christ. Okay. You are someone's hope. You are someone's hope. You are someone's victory. You are someone's strength. You are someone's truth or instructions. You are. You are someone's love. You are someone's wisdom. You are someone's understanding. You. Because as he is, so are you in this world. You. Not him. Him in you. This is a born again trail class, right? Everything that he is and everything that he was and everything that he will be, He has placed inside of you to become just like him. He did not come. Let me say it this way. Lord asked a question a couple weeks ago. What is the difference between authority and faith? Ask everybody to take home his homework. I've heard from three people. Them working on that puzzle, a cubic, trying to get it. Okay. None of us have come up with the full answer, and we probably never will, but it is sure a wonderful thing to play with. What is the difference between authority and faith? I will tell you one thing about authority. When you were born again, and his spirit came in to you, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit took up their abode with you, you were born into authority. You got it all resident. Every bit of authority, not the power that remains with the Holy Spirit, but you got all authority, not 10%, not 20%. But the moment you were born again, he placed inside of you all authority and immediately set you above every power, every principality, every ruler of darkness, and told you to sit down next to him in that place, whether it's a room or a realm, wherever he is, you are. And you have that full amount of authority deposited in you. When you read this, stay close to me. What has he told us? Because you have a difficult time coming into my presence, I've come into your presence, and I've come to dwell with you. And incidentally, I'm never going to leave. You don't have enough power to cause me to leave. You can't do anything that I didn't know you were going to do before you did it. And you're not going to scare me. And you're not going to embarrass me. And I'm not going to become frustrated with you, because I am love, incidentally. And I keep no record of all the other times you've done it. And I've come into your presence, and I'm going to remain in your presence. In essence, you're stuck with me. You can't get rid of me. I'll stay closer than any brother, any sister, any friend, any enemy. I'm closer because I'm in you, and I'll remain in you. Okay. So we're going to stay close together. Whether you know I'm there or not, I'm there, and I'm staying that close. So I'm going to allow you to use the authority that the blood gained for you to become someone's strength, to become someone's victory. It's really us together. It's really not you, the shell of you. You know, it's not the part of you that's already dead positionally. You know, it's me in you, and together we're going to do some great things. You're the agent of authority. I, the Holy Spirit, the agent of power. We've been taught that. But if you don't cooperate and become someone's strength, first your own, you know, someone's victory, someone's wisdom, it's you. Your part. It's a part that you play. Isn't it? There's no defeat. There's no defeat. Because it's him that's doing it through you. It's not you doing it absent from him. It's not you doing the Father's will in his name, like you're going to be able to accomplish something by yourself. You are that empty vessel, as we've been taught, completely empty vessel, that he goes about and it fills for you to accomplish the Father's will. What could be more easy? When you look at that sign on that wall, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Let's look at that sign. When you look at that sign and say, Tulsa is in revival, Tulsa is in revival. Do you look at that like it's a statement? Or do you look at that knowing the authority that you have? As Jesus went up to the fig tree and said, no man will eat off of you from now on. You think he just said that? I mean, do we just think he said that? He spoke to that fig tree, right? Just like you're hearing he spoke right to it and said, fig tree, you'll no longer produce any fruit. The scripture says that he was hungry in two of the passages. If he spoke to the fig tree because he was hungry, he'd have said, fruit be, and fruit was, and he would have had something for breakfast. It had nothing to do with him being hungry. It had everything to do with him showing the disciples what kind of authority that he walked in and what kind of authority you walk in. Because as he is, so are you in this world. And when you look at Tulsa's in revival, you need to be looking at that and turn the confessions that you're saying into statements of authority and speak to Tulsa and see, Tulsa, you are in revival. You don't have a choice, Tulsa, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm telling you, Tulsa, you are in revival. And I want you to know, Tulsa, that Jesus alone is the Lord over Tulsa. Do you understand me, Tulsa? You are in revival. Everything that he has said about you personally, you need to begin to take them, those things that he has said about you, and turn them into statements of authority. Or we will remain sitting in the chair. Awfully quiet this morning. Awfully quiet. Let's go to the next one. January the 17th. Fall in love with me anew. Fall in love with me anew. Fall in love with me. Fall in love with me. Fall in love with me anew. I am inviting all to come and reach into more of me, for a banquet of my love awaits you. I'm inviting all. Not a few, not special individuals, every single person in the sound of my voice. He has just given you an invitation to fall in love with him. Just fall in love with me. This is the Father's call to you. Come, fall deeper and deeper in love with me. A great feast of love awaits you. The Father's heart for you, the Father's heart revealed through you, this is the feast that awaits you. Remember when our pastor said at the sometime this year that we are going to go into war with the heart of the Father? Fall in love with me. Fall in love with me. Fall in love with me. Let me take all the love that I have and place it into your heart so that when you go into war, you will go in with my heart, not your heart. And we will go in and win together. Just fall in love with me. Fall in love with me. Fall in love with me. Instruction. Tarry not. And step aside from every distraction that would delay you. And come. A great feast of love awaits you. January 17th, I have a greater measure of my love. Don't you know that the awareness of my presence and the understanding of my love, my nature, is a place of peace and victory? For as you know and understand my love for you and the way of my love, nothing shall overpower you, for you will have no fear. Fear will assault and fear will try to come, but it will find nothing in you, for your place of confidence will be firmly rooted in the understanding that you have in me and my love for you and through you. I am always available in my love to you, but in this season, he does not tell us how long this season is going to last, but it is like the season of studying Ephesians when the Lord said, why should you leave Ephesians when you're only in the introduction? This season, okay, is a season that is opened up before us by him to fall in love with him. Just as is, the book of Ephesians has been opened up for us to walk in and live in who we are in the book of Ephesians. Walking in and being who we are in Ephesians will not come without the season of finding how much we're loved. They come together, fitly joined together. I'm always available in my love for you, but in this season, many will feast on my love for them and will come out from this time with a new flow of my love through them and a new wisdom in my ways in them. So don't hold back. Don't hold back. Keep the first and foremost plan in your life to seek after more and more of me. And let this seeking be in a greater measure, for I have greater measures of my love to pour into you. Don't hold back. He's not saying, hold back, you're going to get too much of me. He's saying, run. He's saying, press. He's saying, move forward, because every time you move forward, you're going to get more of me, and you will never exhaust more of me. Not in this lifetime. and probably not throughout all eternity. January 17th, no other avenue but truth. The Spirit of Truth tried to flow. The Spirit of Truth has no other avenue but truth. Repent that you may believe. It's the only thing in all of the present day speaking that he's ever used the word repent. So whatever that means to you, you better do it. I better do it. I camped on this one in my own private time for quite some time. The title of the service, for those of you that will look it up, was Casting Down Reasonings, January the 17th, 2010. It's out in our library on the web, etc., etc. I listened to the service, don't know how many times. Not enough, but I did listen. Gary was having that service that day, and the presence of the Lord was here, the teacher was here, and he came to a point in the service where he didn't know what to say. And very seldom does Gary go into tongues and come forth with an interpretation. But he came to a point that the Holy Spirit wanted to say something, but he didn't know what the Holy Spirit wanted him to say. And so the Holy Spirit chose to speak in tongues and give this interpretation. As you first listen to the service, it seems like it's almost out of context. But it seemed like, and I know that it's true, that the Holy Spirit became so anxious for us to all know that he only speaks truth, and that everything that he's ever said was truth, and everything that he ever will say is truth, and that he was awakening us up, maybe clapping his hands or shooting off a gun or something to draw our attention to, you know, quit sleeping, as he said over a year ago in Ephesians. I want you to wake up, and I want you to fully understand that everything I'm saying is truth. And everything that you think contrary to what I'm saying is a lie that you need to repent of yourself individually. You need to repent of, because you have called me a liar and you do not believe that what I have said is the truth. So repent. The blood covers all of those times. There is no condemnation. And according to your record in heaven, you have never failed God once you apply the blood. There is no living in the condemnation or the past. It's gone. It's gone quicker than that. Okay? When you say, Father, forgive me, I repent. Now give me the grace to receive it as truth, and always to receive it as truth, and to walk in the truth. I can receive it as truth. I have to walk in the truth. And it has to come to a point where the truth is so much in me that I can walk in the authority of the truth to bring your will to the face of this earth. Because without me, you're not going to bring it. Not to what you've called me to do. How could he ever say, I need you more than you need me, if that was not truth? It doesn't compute. It just doesn't. How can you need me more than I need you, when everything I am, I need you? I am nothing without you. And he's saying back to us, to you, I need you more than you need me. It's this. I'm totally incomplete. You are my body. I'm the head. You're the body. I need you. more than you need me, because the body is what's going to carry out all the work. I need you. And I love you. And I really love you. I may be your helper, but I'm your lover. I really do love you. The next one or couple down next week, maybe, or whenever. Okay? Nobody, 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 nobody can love you like I can love you. Nobody ever will love you like I love you. Nobody has the capacity to ever love you like I love you. Why don't you come in and let's have a love feast. See you in 30 minutes.